Blog Talk Radio.
Send my vein, Lord, send my vein. You know it's in my vein, Lord, send my vein. Out of blood is running warm in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein. You know it's in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein. You know it's in my vein, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna shout just a little over there. And I'm gonna shout just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. It's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna sing just a little over here. And I'm gonna sing just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna pray just a little over here. And I'm gonna pray just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my, in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna preach just a little over here. And I'm gonna preach just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. I wish you a good evening. This is Pastor Mike Thiebe with the Golgotha Church of Christ. Here on Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. Worship time has moved to 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings now. And we're also broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. So if you, those of you who are on Facebook Live or in the radio land would like to call in, let's talk about it a little bit. If you have a question about the lesson or a comment on the lesson or maybe something, a testimony that God has done in your life as we talk about God's lesson today, give us a call today at 619-924-0767. Once again, 619-924-0767. Let's talk about it. Again, this with this Pastor Mike Thiebe, we're tuning in for Sunday evening worship. This is our worship time. We are going to God in prayer. We're going to God with communion. We're going to God in song and praise. We're going to study and look at a portion of the Word of God. And we're going to God through our giving. And we have our online giving so that you can access us. If you want to leave a financial donation or a tithe donation, you can go to www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. Again, that's www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. And go under the more donations tab, and you can either give a love offering or you can also give a tithe offering of any amount that you would like to do. You also have access to Cash App. If you would prefer to do it that way, you can go $GCOC1, and that is our Cash App advertising, Cash App number. Pause. Signal. telling me that our signal through Facebook Live is being challenged. There we go. Hopefully that will be better for that. It looks like it has enough bandwidth. All right, let's sing another song. Glory to his name. God's name deserves glory, honor, praise, for there's no other name greater under heaven. Afterward, we will start our communion, and then you will meet me at the 18th chapter, of the book of Matthew, as we'll take a look at our lesson today. Glory to his name. Sing with me if you know. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down away from cleansing from sin, I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. We keep singing glory to his name, precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. Back to my heart was the blood of life, singing glory to his name. Now I am so wonderfully saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me, and I'm singing glory to his name. We keep singing glory to his name, precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. Bear to my heart what is the blood of life, singing glory to his name. Now, precious fountain, so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at thy Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. I'm saying glory to his name. We keep saying glory to his name, precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. Bear to my heart was the blood of light. I'm singing glory to his name. Now, precious fountain that saved from sin, I am so glad I had entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. I'm singing glory to his name. We keep singing glory to his name, precious name. Keep singing glory to his name, precious name. Back to my heart was the blood of light. I'm singing glory to his name. We keep singing glory to his name, precious name. We're singing glory to his name, precious name. Oh, there to my life was the blood of life. I'm singing glory to his name. Amen. Let's prepare our minds for the communion. I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know It was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I knew it was the blood for me. And I know it was the blood, oh yes, it was the Savior's blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. This is a very special time where we commemorate, we remember what Jesus did for us on Golgotha Hill, that substitutionary place where he took us on the sin of the world. He gave up the ghost in order for us to have a right to the tree of life. He laid his own life down. They didn't take it from him. He laid his life down. And he was able to pick up his life. The Father resurrected him after 3 days, after as he had promised. We find in Acts 20:7 in the Bible that upon the first day of the week, and every week is the first day, the disciples came together to break bread. Breaking of bread was the time when they had a meal and they also had communion. Apostle Paul continued teaching the 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse number 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had broke it, given thanks and broke it, said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And after he had supped, he said that this cup is the new testament, the new will in my blood. Take, drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. So for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread, drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. And today many are taking communion in an unworthy manner, causing sickness in their own body and difficulty in their own lives. Let us together pray. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may take of the bread and the wine. Although blood came streaming down, oh yes, although blood came streaming down, oh yes, for the blood came streaming down for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. We'll sing one more song. We'll get into our lesson today. Jesus rose with all power in his hands. In his hands, my Jesus rose with all power in his hands. In his hands, for he died on Friday evening and he rose on a Sunday morning. Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand, oh, they tell me that the angel came down from heaven and he rolled that stone away. Oh, they tell me that the angel came down from heaven and he rolled that old stone away. And oh, they tell me that came down from heaven and he rolled that stone away. My Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand, Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand, my Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand, for he died on Friday evening, and he rose early Sunday morning. Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand. Amen. Amen. As we hurry to the scriptures, Matthew chapter 18. As we take a look at a very important question today that man continues to ponder and man continues to have issues with. That question is very integral based on the fact that we sometimes have problems with who we are and what we do. It is very integral in the fact that people want to know who's in charge. Sometimes, and many times, that becomes our biggest problem. No one wants to be on the same level. Somebody always wants to be greater than another. And so we even see here in the first century, that question was asked to Jesus. Who is the greatest? Run with me to the scripture, if you would. 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we want to take a look at verses 1 through 9. Very interesting topic, because rather than we all being considered the same, we have God who loves us all the same and dispenses to us all in our faith manner the way he chooses as a sovereign God. Does not overlook anyone, the just or the unjust. But we always want to know who is greatest than we all. That was a question that Muhammad Ali had posed and answered himself. He said he was the greatest. Well, in the boxing world at said time, from a physical standpoint, that would have been true. But as we look in the spiritual world, and we look at the disciples and the Christians that follow Jesus, study Jesus, look after and learn from Jesus, then we have the same question. And my question is, why do you want to be in front of someone else? And why do you feel that you need to be greater than? Why don't you just be the greatest that you can be? But we always want to measure up with someone else. And it's interesting how even carnalism finds itself creeping into the minds of God's children. 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. You read from your translation. The Bible says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now notice, right off the bat, who's questioning? It always seems that it's those on the inside. Who has the inside scoop? Fail on the inside, want to play politics. Fail on the inside, want to take a shortcut. You are with Jesus. How much more greater is that than what you were without Jesus? But to some, that's not enough. I want to see how I measure up with my other brethren, and do you love me and favor me more than you do someone else? So it's Jesus' folks who are disciples who seem to be the most undisciplined that need to be disciplined. Let's take a look at this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a child to him and had him stand among them. Now, I know they had to ponder, what is Jesus about to do with this kid who has not lived as long as we have, who has not experienced life as long as we have, who has not taken on the battles of life as long as we have. A child who has really no responsibility but to follow and obey his parents. Yet we gave up mother, father, and jobs and everything to follow after thee. And he calls a child? He wrote in their head to come into their mind. What was he about to say? What was he about to do? What is it that this child is going to be positioned in front of them that is going to talk to them? Why would the master bring a kid and place them in front of an adult? They're about to find out right now. Jesus called a child to him and had him stand among them. Notice what he says. I assure you, he said, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That sounds like some strong meat. Jesus, we left everything. We're out here with you, doing what you ask us to do. We may be full of questions because we just have never been in this position before. But yet we still are here with you, following you. And you're telling me I'm not converted? Or you're telling me that I need to become like a child again? And if I don't, I will never enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus seems a little strong. He says, I assure you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm a grown man, Jesus. I have a family of my own. I have children that child age, younger and older. You want me to go back and be like a kid? If I become like a kid, nothing gets taken care of. Many times we forget the life of a child. Jesus is not telling them to be irresponsible, nor is he telling them to be unassociated. Jesus is not telling them to be unfaithful, nor is he telling them to skip rocks. He's talking about the attitude of the child when it comes to letting go of things. and picking up and moving forward. Children absorb like a sponge learned behavior. But if you don't teach them to be divisive, you don't teach them to be separate, even skin color will make a difference to them. They will be on the playground, and little Johnny and Sally Sue will just be having a great time with Zach and Charlie. And they'll all be playing ball, they'll all be swinging on the swings, they'll all be just having a good time interacting together. It's only when they've been told that you can't play with such and such, or you can't be in such and such, then now all of a sudden they start to develop a mentality of disunity, when they are naturally known to be united. Go to a hospital. Go to the preemie section. See all the babies. See all the parents. See, at that point in time, a parent ain't worried about whether the black child is positioned in the crib next to the white child, or if the Chinese child is positioned in the crib next to Filipino or a Mexican or a black or something of that nature. They're not worried about that. They're worried about the life of a healthy child. And so there is a state of mind of innocence that wipes out all of that that we have to get back to, and that's what a child has that we seem to lose as adults when we start to learn how to become divisive. Division and getting in our own quarters seems to be the most comfortable thing for us to segregate ourselves away from our brothers and our sisters for no apparent reason seems to be comfortable to some. And Jesus says we have gravitated to something that we shouldn't. And even in religion, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees that wanted everyone to gravitate to them, and they would talk with 50-cent words that you would have to listen to them explain rather than put it on the ground so anyone could get it and make it common, so that it will be comfortable for them and they could study and understand it themselves. Jesus' word is plain. It's for the layman. See, if you put it up on a shelf, then only a tall person or somebody with a ladder can climb up to get it in order to distribute it down to those below them. But if you place the word of God right on the ground, right in their lap, right in their dialect, right where they understand it, then they all can get it. Those that are high-minded can reach down and still get it. Those that are low-minded will be right in there. You'll have more people having access to it in the unadulterated state, in its common simpleness, than if someone would have to break a piece off and add their own opinion. So he says, unless you are converted, unless you are changed and become like children, his disciples have an attitude already that Jesus is looking at and saying, I see it right now, but it's going to be a problem. And I came to address it. So he tells them right off the bat, you have a conversion issue that you need to deal with, and you need to humble yourself like a child. Remember when you were a child? How simple life was? Why? Because everything that would stress you out as an adult was handled by your parents. You didn't have that stress. That's the kind of faith God wants us as children to have in him. Everything that stresses us out, let's give that to God so that we can just be carefree, enjoy life, and continue to be an example to others of a polished masterpiece, still work in progress. but I shine, I glow, a godlike look shows God to those who know not him in the pardon of their sin. So he says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What I like about Jesus' answer is that it's different than the answer that the apostle or that the disciples were looking for. The disciples wanted Jesus to say, okay, you're number one, you're number two, you're number three, you're number four. And just number them all and put them in a protocol order in a line and as to who is greater than the other. He wanted them to understand that such is more important than you are, or such has more favor than you are in this area. But what I like about Christ's answer here is that he lets all of us know personally, we are not to measure ourselves by no other destiny, our man or human being on this earth, by no other object. But we are to consider ourselves and humble ourselves, and that we all can be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Look at there now. If we just humble ourselves like this little child, it's not one more important than the other. It's that we are the same right. It don't matter what your status is. It don't matter how much money you have in the bank. It don't matter how broke you are. Your position does not change your posture in Christ. Look at it. Look at his answer. He says, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to know about God's dominion and him as king and what he considers great? He looks at everyone individually. And every last one of us that he died for, if we are obedient and humble ourselves and convert like this little child, we all can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, in the body of Christ, in the church that wears his name, the Church of Christ. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. This is where conversion plays a huge part. Because right now you are trying to one-up your brother or one-up your sister. But he says, whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. Hospitality is now not looking out for you, making the child feel welcome. There's something in a child that they can recognize danger. Something about a child that instinctively they know when they're not loved. There's something about a child when a child will not gravitate to something. And we as parents need to pay attention to that, because there's something going on or something that needs to be looked at. There's no welcome warmth there. And that child recognizes that. Or have experienced something that you don't know anything about. And if you keep allowing it, the child can become more damaged. So if you allow this child to be humble and you welcome them in, this is your conversion, this is the change that you have, where you do unto others as you would do unto yourself, where you are more concerned about others and higher esteem others, then you humble yourself. You make the child feel welcome. Jesus says, look, if you welcome one child like this in my name, you want to know who is greatest in the kingdom? He says, I am. closer than I am based on the fact that I bring humility in my mission. I don't let my emotions move me from why I am here. And my purpose of being here is to die for you and for the sin of this world. So you don't know what I'm up against. But I have to do exactly this. Humble myself. Even in the face of danger. Knowing that my daddy has my back. And even if they take my life, they can't take my life. Amen, somebody. So, you want to know, if you really, really want to know, here's your example. Here's a child. This little child. You convert yourself and humble yourself. Get rid of your egotisticalism. Get rid of your positioning, and just serve and love life. Love your fellow brethren. Love people. Be like this little child. And if whoever welcomes this little child in the state that the child is in, you welcome me. But look at what he says in verse 6. Here's the warning to all of us. Are not concerned about the conversion part. I'm not talking about already with Jesus. The disciples are already with Jesus. But yet they have to be converted. That will, for them, it will be the apostles, it will be the Holy Spirit baptism. It takes place on the day of Pentecost that only those apostles will receive. For everyone else, including John's disciples, will be baptism on the day of Pentecost, first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. Well, they will receive a gift or a measure of the Holy Spirit, not the same measure that the apostles will have, and they will have the power to convert and to bring belief through miracles, so people will know that God is real. In the church's infancy, once the church grows out of its infancy, there's no longer any use for those 9 spiritual gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 13. So look here in verse number 6. It's almost like an A and B record. Let me go back and read 1-5, so we got to set up. We understand what we're supposed to do. He's told us what we need to do. He's given us the answer. The question was asked. We now have the answer. Now here comes the warning. If you don't heed to the instruction. The disciples came to Jesus and said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? He called the child to them and had him stand among them. And he said, I assure you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So humility defines greatness. And whoever welcomes one little child like this in my name welcomes me. Says, but, three-letter word that changes things. But whoever causes the downfall of one of these little ones who believe in me, it will be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Hold it now. Jesus, what happened to all the love? What happened to the cuddliness? What happened to the warmth? This is serious business, folks. Jesus has such affection for his children. If you want to raise the proverbial dandruff on the back of his anthropomorphic neck, then you can do that by messing with God's children. I'm going to help somebody today. See, when folks mess with you, they're not really messing with you. They're messing with who you belong to. If you're connected to Satan, then they're messing with Satan. If you're connected with God, then they're messing with God. Why? Because they can't mess with God. They can only mess with the things that are close to God in order to get God's attention. They feel that if I can hurt you, I'll hurt God. But your arms are too short to box with God. And you don't want to play into Satan's minions and find yourself cast in outer darkness, never to have a right to the tree of life. It's serious business when it comes to God's children. Mistreatment of one of God's children. God says, "Ben Albert, you went on and drowned yourself. But you hooked yourself to a minister and committed suicide. Then let me get at you. Because can't nobody get you like God. God's omnipresent. Just when you think you're about to climb the mountain will move." Look at this again. But whoever causes the downfall of one of these children. See, you may throw a rock and hide your hand. This is not Alpha and I 242. This is not the Mosaic law, although it is the Mosaic law. It's moving under grace and truth. Because if you cause problem or downfall, even in association to one of God's little ones who believes in him, it is better for you to have a heavy millstone hung around your neck and drown in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or your foot causes your downfall, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands and two feet and be drowned and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes your downfall, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye rather than to have two eyes to be thrown into hellfire. What are you saying, Jesus? My hands and my eyes are the reason I might go to hell? No, it's not necessarily your members. But what I'm telling you is that if there's anything that gets in the way of you elevating spiritually, that keeps you from rising, that keeps you from loving, that keeps you from being humble, get rid of it. Detach it, delete it, cut it off, amputate it, right? Plug it out. Because it's better to have eternal life with God without it and have a changed body than to have two good feet, two arms, two hands, two eyes that will lead you into eternal hellfire. So the question is, always boils down to where you want to go. Do you want heaven or do you want hell? Do you want air conditioning or do you want to smoke and jack sex? Do you want to spend life with God unstressed, loved, and welcomed? Or do you want to maintain your position off in your corner? Don't talk to me, don't bother me, because I'm doing my own thing. Carnalism will keep you grounded towards hellfire. But spiritualism will put you on an escalator of love that will help you go up and up and become deeper and deeper in love with God. Your relationship with God and how God feels about it is more important than what you would allow your physical body to deal with. Is it worse me being maimed or being lame in order to go to heaven? Yes. Nothing here on earth, including physical body, physical flesh, health or wealth, should keep you from the celestial God in the throne room of heaven. That should be your goal. Because you will leave this world if this world is not your home. See, for those of us who love God, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasure is not here. Our treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So what we have to understand is that God loves us so much. Then he says, all you have to do when you get out of pocket, I will keep an example in front of you. Here's a little child. Now let me take it on another level. Isn't it interesting that when you get married, and in marriage, when you ignite nature, consummation, God calls it multiplication, that what you conceive is the very example God continues to put in front of you, so you can remember how to bring yourself down when you get high money. A baby can't do nothing for themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't clean themselves. All they can do is allow you to know that they're just comfortable, they're wet, they're messy, right? And you need to clean them up. They're in your hands. They're like silly putty. They're precious beyond belief. Even as they grow up and in the developmental process, the bit of that child by the age of 3 is still showing you the importance. And isn't it interesting how children become a mirror image of their parents? God wants you to see that you need to humble yourself like a child. And he reminds you every time you can see and have a child. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God loves us so much that he continues to remind us what we need to do so that we all can link like a chain hands, saying kumbaya, howdy, howdy, and praising the Lord, and we all can be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hope, trust, and pray that this lesson has blessed you. Hope, trust, and pray that you see that humility is the key to greatness. And welcoming God's little child welcomes Jesus. My question to all of us today, that I leave with you at this point, Is Jesus welcome to you? It's not what you say. It's all in what you do. God wants to see your action as it comes to him. We're going to go to Monotog Live. My wife is on at this time. We're going to get her comment on the lesson. But I want you to know this is invitation time. If you want to call in, dial 619-924-0767. Or you can type in as well on Facebook Live, and we will talk about your situation, have prayer for you as well. Let's go to my wife at this time, honey. Any comments on the lesson at this time or any comments at this time?
Well, when I think about this lesson, I think about denying myself completely and becoming humble and becoming trustworthy, developing trust in God and knowing that he loves us tremendously and not being afraid, because fear can cause you to put a blockage and small stumbling blocks in your way. But God is your strength. I'm your refuge and I'm your stronghold. And also, he's letting us know not to be afraid to let go and just put all your trust in him, rest in God, and just become humble and resting in God's love. That's what I get from this.
Yes, we need to be comfortable, we need to be humble, and we need to rest. I love that word, that you can rest in God's love. There's nothing like some good rest. And you're not stressed out. It's a lot easier to rest. Thank you so very much for that comment. And I want you to tune in again and continue to call in on Blog Talk Line again, 619-924-0767. We're going to have a close out of the word of prayer, and you do something for somebody today that they can't repay you for. You give them Jesus and then crucify. That's another prayer. Kind righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for helping us to understand that greatness starts with humility and that it is centered and gravitated around humility. How humble can we be? How low can we go? You have that song, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord, and you will exalt us in due time. So, Father, we need to help. We thank you for the example of the word, and we need help to continue to be not only reminded, but to continue to de-escalate ourselves so that you can elevate ourselves. Don't let us move ourselves, but we allow you, in faith, to do what needs to be done. Help us to stay strong. Help us to stay on fire for the Lord. And help us to do unto others as you would have us do unto you. Father, we love you. We adore you. We ask you to continue to correct us when we're wrong, build us up where we're weak, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Again, have a great evening. We love you, and God loves you best. God bless. In the name of the Lord.